We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Good morning, Yeah.
It's time to wake up. It's 5, and we're live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports on 95.7 The Game. Come on!
May 20th, 2019. Game 4. Game four, Anna. Did you think it was going to be going this way? Did you think the Blazers were going to look defeated, broken after game three? Because that's all I got from that game after watching the Blazers squander a huge lead and the Warriors end up winning 110-99.
Seeing how hard they fought in the first two rounds, I thought they were going to have a lot more life to them.
Yeah.
But it looks like the Warriors just have their number. They're just in their minds. And I don't know how much of it has to do with Damian Lillard being injured, but I didn't think it was going to be they were going to rip them out their souls so easily.
Yeah, I didn't expect that at all. I thought they were going to keep up that. I thought they were going to keep up that first half run that they were on. Mm-hmm. The Blazers looked good. They did in that first half, at least. As they were just, they've looked good in the first half of every single game this series. And it seems that the Warriors just, you know, tire them out. And then in the second half, they can't run with them much longer. I think that's always been, to me, why this Warrior team is just far greater than a lot of these younger teams in the Western Conference. The ones who, you know, all these teams that got into the Western Conference playoffs, they're young for the most part. Yeah. The Nuggets, they're a young team. The Blazers, they're a young team. The Rockets, not so much. But watching those two, they didn't have the experience that the Warriors have had in the postseason. They realize that, I mean, if you're going to go to Game 7 like the Blazers did in that last series, especially in the last two series, rather, then it's going to tire them out for this next series against the Warriors. And they just... They proved to me at Game 3 that it's like, all right, they could steal one in Portland tonight. That's fine. But in the end, they're not really ready to close this thing out.
Yeah, I could see them putting up definitely some more fight at home in front of the home crowd and everything. But, you know, that goes to show you the Warriors' veteran presence. They've been here before. They know what it's like to get to this point. They know what it's like to, I would say, kind of conserve their energy. I mean, it's probably also helped that Kevin Durant in the first two rounds had, you know, been so stellar that, you know, we didn't see the bench basically play until the last game of the Rockets series.
Yeah.
And that's now they're out there. They almost have fresh legs basically going into the Western Conference Finals. You can't say the same for obviously a lot of the starters, but can we just say how much heart Draymond Green has? Triple double. And he goes out there and he is otherworldly with what he brings to the court.
That was his seventh career triple-double in the playoffs, the third in this postseason. 20 points, 13 rebounds, and 12 assists. We'll get to Draymond Green and all that because he had some media availability yesterday, and we'll get to that. But you can feel free to text the Chilton On-Body text line at 95795. Give us a call at 888-957-9570. So, you know, even if we're just talking about Draymond Green, might as well play some sound from after the game. Here's Klay Thompson talking about Draymond Green.
I mean, his stat line is ridiculous. Four steals, I mean, doing on both ends, plus 16. But it's nothing new. I've seen him do it for 7 years. Just filling out the box score, and he's like a secondary point guard out there, and he relieves so much pressure from me and Steph, being able to play off the ball. And his ability to make plays out of the pick and roll is probably the best ever. So he makes us go, and especially when he pushes that pace. So I'm proud of Dre, and I know he's not satisfied.
He's not satisfied, and Stephen Curry continued on Draymond Green, and these two guys, they know him better than anyone.
I mean, it's like he's got like 8 eyeballs. He sees everything and kind of knows what to say at the right time. Watched him talk to JB after the missed dunk and kept him engaged, talking to coach about some certain play calls and reads, even going into the game talking about different defensive strategies and whatnot. So he's just observant of everything and has just a high basketball IQ. And that's just, you know, obviously his experience, but the fact that he's so versatile, he can do a lot of different stuff and knows how to help a team win.
He's, like, not going to be another player that we're going to see for a while. Mm-hmm. He really does do everything. He goes out and plays defense, gets a defensive rebound, whatever, then takes it up the court and then just goes in for a layup, which he's gotten so much better at over the coming years. It's wild actually seeing him take it from coast to coast like that with that much quickness, because he did end up losing those 23 pounds or whatever it was in the last couple of months, and he's moving as swiftly as we've ever seen him move. He's been putting up stat lines like this for sure, but the 20 points is what we don't see all that often. He came out and he scored 29 in that game 6 against the Cavaliers after he got suspended, and came out and he was really the only one who performed. But other than that, I mean, there's two guys on this team, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, who are just shooters that for the likes of which we've never seen before. But Draymond Green, in terms of being just a total player on every end of the spectrum, whatever positive thing you could say about a basketball player, Draymond Green is that.
He has, you said earlier, the basketball IQ. Steph Curry said how much of a high basketball IQ he has. He's so great at what he does. He's so physical, and he's a great leader. You know, you saw what happened with Jordan Bell when he completely missed that dunk. One of the most embarrassing things that you see in a game. Everybody's talking about Shaq and a fool, all this stuff. But you have someone like Draymond Green who goes out there, gives them a pep talk, talks to him and says, look, this guy's missed a shot. This guy's missed a shot. And he's there for him, and he helps him bring him back, so that way he comes into this game thinking, okay, I can come back from here, and he bounces back big time.
Am I the only one who was kind of cynical about that?
Why are you cynical?
Well, I'm looking at that one little clip, and I'm scrutinizing just this one tiny clip of him talking up Jordan Bell.
Okay.
Like, all the other stuff that Draymond Green does on the floor in terms of talking, like, he directs the team, he does whatever he can on the floor, but isn't that just a normal thing for every other player? Shouldn't everyone be picking up Jordan Bell at that point? I'm just like, how low are other teammates if they don't at least say something to Jordan Bell? Like, Draymond Green couldn't have been the only one saying something to Jordan Bell on that missed dunk. Now, on the court in that moment, it probably meant more to Jordan Bell that Draymond Green was saying it. But I'm also thinking, all right, aren't other teammates at least picking him up? If they're not picking him up too, then that's just being a bad teammate.
Well, no, it just depends on what you say to him. Because it's all about saying it's all about saying the right words to get them to bounce, to get out of that, to get out of his own head. Because at that point, that's when the mental aspect of the game comes in. Because Jordan Bell at that point could have completely just crashed, faltered, and completely checked out of the game. You know, you might have had guys say, hey, it's all right, you can get it next time. It's all right, don't worry about it, just shake it off. That's what everybody would typically say.
Right.
But then he went out there and went the next step and said something that really got to him.
Yeah.
And that's a leader. And then and the big thing about being a good leader is actually not just, you know, saying something, but saying the right thing to that person and knowing that this is going to get through to them.
I think that was just the shocking thing to me, though. It's just no one else is saying anything to Jordan Bell. It's like Draymond Green has to be the only guy. I know he's the team leader, but he does whatever he can on the floor in terms of talking. It's just like, can't someone else speak up at least once? Because you don't have to make Draymond Green do the entire talk. Like, he doesn't have to do that. Or like,
is he the first one out there, though? But that's the thing. Is he the first one that goes out there?
He
takes charge.
He was the first one. Yeah. And he absolutely is that guy on the court. I'm just being cynical about this tiny little clip. Because everything else that he does, like, I wish they would get more audio just of him directing people on the floor, telling guys who to double, who he's got his backside, like, screen, who he's got his backside to help with. Like, there's so many little things that Draymond does also. The thing that he did with Jordan Bell, that's just every day. That really is just every day. That's not even something that separates him from everyone else. That's just a everyday thing for Draymond. What else he does, like in terms of them talking about him having his high IQ, it's that he tells people where to go and what the other team's going to do. And I kind of wish that the mic would pick up a little more of that and they'd play a little more of that.
You're right. That's not played enough. And that's something that goes to show you what really makes a really good basketball player. And you're right. You know, that's almost like the when we talked about Tony Romo. When he's doing, you know, the analyst work and the color or the play-by-play work, he was able to kind of foresee what was going on in the field and being able to say, okay, this is going to happen here. And then everyone's like, whoa, my gosh, look what he can do. It's like he's telling the future. Draymond kind of does the same thing where he can look around and be like, okay, these guys are doing this, these guys are going to do that, and he can tell you what's going to happen next pretty much.
What do you think? Draymond Green. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't want to get too ahead of myself here, but in his post-playing career, broadcaster or coach? Because it's got to be one of those two, right?
Ooh, yeah.
He's going to stay involved with the game, but do we want him being... Because I think he could be a terrific analyst, and he could be much better than, you know, anyone that's on that ABC broadcast with Chauncey and Paul Pierce. Those guys just... I mean, Chauncey's actually pretty good, but Paul Pierce just says things for shock value at this point. But I don't know. Draymond being a broadcaster versus Draymond being a coach, he'd make a hell of a coach, too. Either one. But which one do you think?
You know, he would be, oh gosh, he would do great with either of them, obviously.
Yeah.
Like you said, he would be great with either. I think I like the idea of him, though, working with young players and really helping them develop and kind of working on, you know, bringing what he's learned to the next generation of basketball. So I would like to see him as a coach because I think he'd be somebody who'd be really inspiring. I'm sure he'd also butt heads with a bunch of guys, but I think he would bring the best out of people.
So this game, now... The whole point of what Terry Stotts is trying to say in terms of adjustments and stuff is that it's like, yeah, we'll make them the next game and maybe they'll work out. Why didn't they try and start Myers Leonard in these first couple of games? It seems like he was getting shots off, he was getting open, and it seems like he's a better matchup for this team than Zach Collins. I was talking up Zach Collins because he had a fantastic series against the Nuggets, and Myers Leonard wasn't even... like a speck in my eye. He didn't even play all that much. So I'm thinking, why didn't he even put Myers Leonard in when, against the Warriors in the regular season, he backed up for Nurkic and he wasn't all that bad. So it's crazy seeing Terry Stotts kind of not really know what to do, and then he makes a change and it seems to work, but also he didn't keep Myers Leonard in. It's like... It's a weird situation with the Blazers right now. It seems like they just don't know what to do against
them. They
the
just
Warriors.
Can't figure it out. They just can't figure out the Warriors.
Yeah.
Nobody could seem to figure out the Warriors, but they are just completely dumbfounded when it comes to it. Myers Leonard had a great first half, and it almost seemed like wasn't there as much in the second, obviously, with him not playing as much. But, there were some interesting changes. Like, even Damian Jones, when he started the game, it didn't turn out. It was kind of rough.
Yeah.
A little bit of a rough one there, but poor guy just came off, you know, a torn pec after, you know, that happened back in December. So we'll give him a little bit of a leeway, but interesting decision to all of a sudden go to him.
Yeah, that was a curveball.
Yeah.
I think thrown in three fouls within the first 3 minutes of the game.
I kind of almost thought, like, why would you change it at this point? I don't get the idea behind it as much. Like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Right.
If it was working already in the first, you know, I mean, obviously Andrew Bogut's not going to be getting tons of minutes, obviously, as a starter, but it seemed like it was working out pretty well. Maybe it was just a way to see how we would do. Yeah, it was kind of an interesting decision by Kerr on that one.
Doesn't look like they're going to need to even play their big men all that much. Damian Jones only with 3 minutes on the floor, obviously, in the first quarter, and then Andrew Bogut with 2.5 minutes. That the Warriors seem to be handling them smoothly. I'm shocked how the series has been going so far. I didn't expect it to go 3-0. I thought maybe, you know, I thought the Blazers would steal one at least, but then I guess that Damian Lillard injury, even though it wasn't made available to the media and no one really speculated about it, I think it might have had a little more to do with Damian Lillard not exactly being the Damian Lillard that we all really know.
Yeah, separated ribs is what it looks like he has right now, so which sounds incredibly painful there.
Yeah, and one other guy, we're going to talk about this next, Andre Iguodala. He is questionable for tonight. Should the Warriors even play him? You can text the Chill Not a Body text line at 95795, 888-957-9570. Stephen Langford, Anna Kakadaki's in on the pregame show on 95.7 The Game.
to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford and Anna Kakadakis.
The pregame show is presented by Golden State Lumber. Join Golden State Lumber for Golden Mornings at the Building Bar for a coffee, meet and greet with their product experts. Visit goldenstatelumber.com for dates and more information. You can feel free to text the Chilton Auto Body text line at 95795, 888-957-9570 if you want to get your thoughts in on the series. Are you surprised that the Warriors are even going for a sweep tonight? There were a couple of media people out here who said that they could win two in Portland. The Blazers could.
I thought that this was going to six.
Yeah.
I originally thought this was going to six. And I'm not going to be like, oh, I'm going to just say, oh, it's all over right now. I still think that Portland's going to come out with one, but yeah, Warriors just dominate.
So you think you think Blazers win tonight?
I think they might win tonight.
There you go.
Oh, obviously, if they're going to take one more, then tonight's the night.
Tonight is the night. And we're going to get to some sound from Draymond Green because we can't say enough about the guy. And the Chilton Auto Body text line at 95795 brought up a great point. Let me find it as I scroll down here because we get so many at 5 a.m.
Good morning, everybody.
From the 408, every Warrior in franchise history adds up to 6 triple-doubles. Draymond alone has 7.
Mm-hmm.
Let that stat sink in. Pay the man. That also shows you, though, you'd wonder if that would be the same if he were on like a team like the Spurs or someone who's been in the playoffs every single year. Because there is only about a decade's worth of playoffs to work with right now. There's not much of a history with playoff triple-doubles in Warriors franchise history.
But although, a lot of recent history.
Still amazing. Still, I mean, considering who he's played with and all that, and the amount of games that they've even played, the fact that they've made it to the finals, you know, these past, whatever it is, 4 seasons, it's crazy. But it's also, there's not much of like a sample size for him to beat, you know?
This is going to be a hard stat to catch up to.
It is.
That's going to be hard.
Yeah.
So we can't, you know, you can't say enough about what he's done and what he means to this team. And I agree. Pay the man. He's somebody that needs to be a Warrior for life.
And you know what? It is great that this sort of stat is coming out because I think a lot of people, especially like when we look at this team when we're looking at this team from the future and we're looking back on this Warriors dynasty and whatever, you look at the stats. That's what a lot of people especially are going to trend toward in the future when it's all over. And you look back at him, and you're going to look at Draymond Green's – I mean, they're going to look at the regular season stuff, and they're going to be like, his stats weren't all that great, and they might forget what he actually did for this team. But this is solidifying his place for sure, and I'm not putting it past him at all to get more. I think he could – you know, he could end with – I mean, he could end with 9. He could end with 9 triple-doubles in the playoffs. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets 2 more, at least in the next – whatever, you got 7 or 8 games at least, probably. So, I mean, I wouldn't put it past him to at least get a couple of more.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised either. So I think that he's more than capable of doing it. And, you know, ever since he lost those 23 pounds, he has just been moving so easily on the court. He is flying everywhere. He just has a whole new mindset. And I think that this year with the ups and downs, the ebbs and flows that this team has gone through this year, he's learned a lot. And he is taking what he's learned and putting it on the court.
Yeah, and having that, you know, his fiance, all this sort of stuff that's happening in his life outside of basketball is affecting his life in basketball. And we're going to get to the sound talking about his son and setting an example because it is hilarious sound. But there is a question I asked before we went to break from the last segment. Iguodala is questionable for tonight, obviously with his Achilles. And the MRI came back negative, so that's a good thing. But from the 408 on the Chilton Auto Body text line, in all caps, do not play Iggy tonight, with 5 exclamation points afterwards. And as much as I want to sweep, if he goes down, we really are effed. Mm-hmm. So they would have, after today, if they do end up getting the win, they would have 9 days of rest. So do you want the Warriors to start Iggy tonight?
No. Nope.
Just sit him the entire time.
Give him rest. Look, no matter what, he is so good at what he does, but he is also older. He is older, and you need him.
Right.
You need him down the road, especially for an NBA Finals game. And we're already down KD, not knowing completely what's going on with him. Don't know what's going on with Boogie. Andre Iguodala has been an incredible piece of this team. And he needs to be there to go on to the NBA Finals. So I think this team, you lose one game, okay. I want them to sweep. I want them to get it done, get those 9 days off. But to lose Andre tonight would be more catastrophic.
Yeah, I don't think they need to. They don't need to play tonight. They really don't. They Alphonso McKinney. Do you know what his plus minus was from his last game on Saturday?
I didn't see it, actually. No, what
you didn't. So I'm going to give you a few numbers here. 16, 19, 10. Those were the highest plus minuses for the Warriors in his last game on Saturday. Alphonso McKinney was a plus 24.
Wow.
When he was on the floor. Yeah. So he at least was a plus 8 over the highest, or oh, rather, I got plus 19. So Stephen Curry was plus 19, but Alphonso McKinney was first in on the team with a plus 24. So I think you're gonna have to give McKinney his shot. You come out there, you play in Luxembourg or wherever you played. You don't really get all that much time in the NBA. Now's your chance to prove it, young fella, even though he's not all that young. But yeah. Still, I think Alphonso McKinney tonight, it's going to be a big game for him. And he's going to go out there, and I have been adamant about this. I enjoy watching him get rebounds more than anyone else on this team. I can't explain why, but watching him, it's like he's taking liftoff off the ground whenever he's going up for an offensive rebound, and his vertical just seems to be higher than everyone else's. His head always seems to be above everyone else's whenever there's a rebounding opportunity.
He has a lot more heart when look, they all have heart, obviously, but he is somebody that looks like he's at the end here. Like, he's like, okay, this is my only shot. I need to go out there 110% and put everything I've got on the court. And that's the way he plays. And I think that's why all of a sudden you see him almost jumping higher than everybody else, because he is really going for that ball. There's times that we've watched his teams, like, it feels like they've been very lazy sometimes getting rebounds. Yeah. He's not one of those guys.
Yeah, yeah. Heart. That's what Steve Kerr's, he's been preaching that about Alphonso McKinney through this entire season. Mm-hmm. Anytime McKinney has a big game, they always ask him after the game, what'd you think of McKinney's performance tonight? And Steve Kerr always talks about the heart that he shows and just the fact that he's that guy right now. Him and Jonas Jerebko, they're two guys that haven't had much success since their tenure in the NBA, and they're sort of veterans at this point. They're looking to get a ring. They're the David West type, except they're obviously not a veteran who took a pay cut with all these other teams and then, right, you know, tried to actually get one with other teams first. But it's not like that. David West was trying way harder, and way longer than these other guys. Yeah. But these two are the ones, they're kind of the veteran that they pick up so they can help get a ring. It's kind of been the Warriors' thing these past few years, is just pick up that one savvy veteran who can hopefully help out your team. And tonight, Alphonso McKinney is going to have to prove that he can help, especially with Andre. And it, by the looks of the Chill Not a Body text line here from the 408, sit Iggy, let McKinney play. The boy has earned the playing time, and he's given the team good minutes. Plus 24, don't risk losing Iggy for the finals. He is too valuable. And then from the 415 on the Chill Not a Body text line, do you guys think Iggy can lock down the Greek Freak?
I mean, he's gone up against LeBron. How has he fared against LeBron?
It's true.
And LeBron's obviously one of the best players that we've seen in the NBA. The Greek Freak is otherworldly right now how he's playing, but I think if anybody could do it, Andre definitely can.
Maybe, but I'm thinking the key words in that are locked down.
Lockdown's going to be tough.
Yeah, here's the answer to that question. There's not a single defender on the planet who can lock down Giannis Antetokounmpo. That man is strong. He is big. He is physical. He's smart. And he has these hands that let him palm the ball like a crazy person, because there's a couple of plays that you've seen in this Bucks-Raptors series where, especially late in the game in the fourth quarter, last night he fouled out. That's a big reason why they didn't win in double overtime. But you see these plays where he'll go up, he'll just extend his arm fully with the ball in hand. He'll be bumped twice along the way, yet somehow he keeps control of the ball just with his hand and manages to get a layup or even dunk it in. He's otherworldly, so I don't think there's a single player who can lock him down. You can maybe hope to contain him.
Minimize him a little bit.
Yeah, and I don't know if you're going to have to sacrifice a double team to get on him, even though you have Mirotić who can shoot the three, and you also got Ilyasova who can shoot the three. There's certain guys. I mean, you got to double team him if you really want to have any chance of quote-unquote locking him down.
Yeah, you're right. There's no real locking him down for sure on that one.
Yeah.
So, but you, like I said, you can kind of figure out ways to kind of minimize him, kind of push him out to the perimeter to find his weakness a little bit there, because that's definitely his weakness. But yeah, just I think that it's one of those things that this is why you need somebody like you need Kevin Durant on the floor. You need these guys on the floor. I mean, when Kevin Durant was with the Thunder, you hear like Draymond Green talking about that, you know, Kevin Durant was one of the hardest guys to defend.
Yeah.
And it's the same type of idea now with the Greek Freak. So you have something kind of similar with that as well going out there.
And he's going to be around for a while.
Oh, yes. He's young.
Yeah, he'll be around. That's for sure. And from the 925 on the Chill Nobody text line, good team defense last night kept Giannis.
It's okay.
Giannis completely locked up. And then from the 925, Kawhi locked him down last night. And then from the 650 on the Chilton Autobody text line, Draymond is playing the best of his career. Are we ever going to get to the point, or is anyone going to get to the point where they'll think that in these past 7 years in this championship era that Draymond Green's been a little more valuable than Steph? Is anyone ever going to get to that point, or that's just, it's going to always be Steph at the top?
That's a hard comparison because it's so different what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can't say that one, you know, because they're each so different and so good at what they do that you can't really say it's not apples and oranges. I mean, it's sure they're all fruit in the end, but they're not, yeah. You know, it's completely different. It's more like apples and, I don't know, not even trying to think of something random here, cotton candy, I don't know, something random. You know, you can't compare the two. It's totally different.
Andre Iguodala called them Brady and Gronk.
That is pretty funny, actually.
It's like Brady and Gronk, but you don't know which one. Which one's Brady and which one's Gronk? You'd think right off the top of your head.
You would think Tom Brady.
Steph Brady,
yeah.
Then Gronk Draymond, but you want to put Draymond in a little bit of a higher echelon than Gronk because Draymond hasn't been plagued by injuries his entire career. I don't know. It's a tough comparison to make, but also I get it. I guess Brady and Gronk have been that guy. I mean, even Brady and Belichick, maybe? No. Would that be Steph and Steve Kerr?
Yeah. Yeah.
From the 916 on the Chill My Body text line, 3-for-18 versus Kawhi last night. Yeah. From 510, it's going to take a total team effort and schemes to slow down Giannis. Now, I don't want to get too ahead of that series because it is 2-1 after all, and I don't know if the Bucks are going to make it past. I don't know. The Raptors could come back. Yeah, that's the beauty of sports.
I mean, Kawhi Leonard is.
You never know.
Yes.
Yeah. Kawhi Leonard is unreal as well, and also from the 916. Need a slightly shorter defender who can get their hands on the ball while he's handling. Iggy would be great. Maybe a little Dre and KD too to alleviate the pressure. Well, we're going to have a whole week to discuss that because I think it's almost a done deal that the Warriors-Blazers series is over regardless of what happens tonight, even though if the Blazers get a win, I think the Warriors might pull this one out.
All right, so here's a better comp that we got from the Chilton Autobody text line. Back-to-back, Montana and Rice.
Montana, Rice, wow.
That, I think, is more fitting. I think that is completely more fitting for Steph and Dre.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any other two-player comparisons from other sports to compare Steph and Dre to? Feel free to text the Chilton Autobody text line to 95795, 888-957-9570, and I promise we're going to get to the sound from Draymond Green talking about setting the example for his son because it shows just how much he's grown in the past 7 years that he's been here. Stephen Langford, Anna Kakanak, he's in on the pregame show on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford and Anna Kakanakis.
Pregame show is presented by Golden State Lumber. Join Golden State Lumber for Golden Mornings at the Building Bar for a coffee meet and greet with their product experts. Visit goldenstatelumber.com for dates and more information. We obviously are discussing the Warriors thrashing of the Trailblazers 110-99, but primarily it's been a Draymond Green show because it was the game of games for him. It didn't put him on the map for Warrior fans because
we all know
that this is what Draymond is. But when you see a stat line like 20, 13, and 7, I mean, when you see that, at least, like, can't get over it.
Let's add the 4 steals on there.
And the 4 steals, yeah. Mm-hmm. When you see these stat lines, though, that's what really gets the national headlines. That's the one that catches everyone's attention, especially if you didn't watch the game fully. Because I don't think a lot of people, especially outside of Warrior fans, they don't watch it closely. Like, they'll have it on, but they don't really won't be paying attention to what's going on. And these sort of stat lines, it's what gets you known nationally for sure. And I think, I mean, if people didn't know who Draymond Green was or what he is, they know now.
Yeah, they do know now. I mean, a lot of these times you have people going out to bars or sports bars or going out to dinner and you're watching the game in the background. You're not paying close attention. But, you know, obviously a lot of Warrior fans were out there just watching the game, really in tune to it. So you see what Draymond Green does on the court. You see everything else that he does and how he's facilitating things and how he's talking to his teammates. So we know what he brings,
mm-hmm.
and we know what he mentally brings to the game. The great basketball IQ that he brings out there, and the great defense, obviously, which a lot of times, how many times do we say throughout the season, he does so much stuff that you can't see on a stat line?
Right.
Again, like you're saying, you saw it on the stat line for him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what he's done without the stats has been amazing, and now adding that to it, it's just, he's so good.
Yeah, I hope people realize the worth that he had with this team, because when you're looking back in the future and whenever they make a, I'm not going to say a 30 for 30, because 30 for 30s only happen normally when there's at least a terrible fall.
Yeah.
You know, there's always a rise, but there's always a fall, you know, but
they were getting ready to tell us that, like, oh, it's coming.
If you're looking back at this 20 years from now and you're looking back on this team, I hope that the kids growing up trying to learn the history of basketball and whatnot, they understand the worth that Draymond Green did have for this squad. And then from the 415 on the Chill Nobody text line, lamb and tuna fish, Big Daddy for combo, whatever that means. As we were discussing, as Andre Iguodala said, Steph and Draymond are like Brady and Gronk. We've been trying to think of other athlete comparisons. We'll go to Chris in Palo Alto here in a couple of seconds as we read off a couple of these texts. But from the 925, McGuire and Ricky Henderson. From the 510 on the Chill Nobody text line, Jackie Moon and Clarence.
Oh.
From the 415, The Rock and The Big Show. And were those two a pairing exactly?
I guess so.
From the 707, why offense duos? More like Joe Montana and Ronnie Lott.
That's another good one. Ronnie Lott was my mom's favorite, by the way.
Yeah?
Oh, my mom loves Ronnie Lott. Oh, yeah, she loves him. How about Jordan and Rodman? Somebody said.
Jordan and Rodman's a great, I mean, but you'd have to put Draymond Green above Rodman, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think you'd have to. It's a great comparison, but I also think you'd have to put him above Rodman. And Chris in Palo Alto, he has a comparison for Dre and Steph. What's up, Chris?
Hey, hi, good morning. You know, driving my new, brand new BMW, listening to you guys is the best thing that can happen early in the morning for me. I have Roger Federer and Nadal for both of them, and also a healthy Kevin Durant would be a Djokovic. So that's how I look at it. Down the line, I think these two are so, so, so important. And as he rightly said, they both have two different skill sets that is complementary for this team to win. And the great thing about Draymond Green is I really think he has the best of Michael Jordan in defense and an extraordinarily good eye. I can think of Larry Bird, how tenacious he was, how Michael Jordan played that. And this, Draymond Green seems to be right in that category for me in terms of the overall play he brings. And he's one of the best athletes to play basketball in my books, too.
Appreciate it, Chris.
Thank you.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
A tennis one,
yeah,
with Federer, Nadal, and the Joker. Djokovic. I think he had that nickname first before Nikola Jokic. What are you laughing at?
I was laughing at 95. Arya and the Hound.
Arya and the Hound's a good one.
Shout out Game of Thrones finale.
For the 650 on the Chill Not Nobody text line. Yeah, we don't need to talk about
that.
We don't have to talk about that today. We're trying to be high-spirited as the Warriors did get this win, but GOT for Anna, and I don't think we...
We're not exactly thrilled today.
No, I wouldn't say so. And then
No spoilers.
From the 650 on the Chilled Out Body text line, why does he have to bring up his new BMW?
I saw that. I have a feeling somebody works for BMW or has.
Maybe.
Maybe. A little association with the company.
I mean.
Or maybe he's really proud of his car.
Maybe. I let him be proud of his car. I don't know what he's got, like an M3, an M5 maybe.
Can I tell you what cracks me up?
Huh.
I laugh at people when they have like the vanity plates that say like BMW lover, this, you know, whatever car it is, like a Jaguar, this. Like, really? Do you really got to tell me what kind of car you're driving? Can't I see it?
What if people don't know what kind of car it is?
Really?
What if, I mean, not everyone's a car person, Anna.
Oh, so you got to tell me with your license plate.
Totally.
You're trying to show off, aren't you?
I'll full disclosure, I drive a Subaru Outback.
So you're going to get a Subaru or Outback friend? I don't know. What would your vanity license plate be for your Subaru?
My Subi.
My Subi.
No, I'm just kidding. I don't. I would never have one of the.
Please don't.
No,
I'll
wouldn't.
Laugh at you.
I wouldn't have one of those for sure.
I giggle.
I wouldn't have one. But interesting. Novak Djokovic, Roger Federer, and Rafael Nadal. Stefan Draymond. I think it's hard to make a comparison for them because they're two players with skill sets that I feel like are just enhanced from any players in the past. Now, MJ and Pippen comes to mind, but was Pippen that team vocal leader that really got him through to all those championships? I mean, it's a good comparison having Jordan and anyone from those Bulls team, Jordan and Rodman, Jordan and Pippen, whatever. But it also feels like Steph and Draymond are just kind of in their own class of pairings, if that makes sense.
Well, Chris said it actually just perfectly. They're two different skill sets that complement each other. And so that's why they work so well together, is that you can't sit there and compare, like, who's better, who's more needed, which one's more important to the team. You can't compare them because they complement each other. And that's what really makes this a team sport. You've seen it where you can't just have one superstar on a team that's going to completely change a team and make you win a championship. It doesn't work that way. You need a complete team. You see why this Warrior team has been so dominant, because they complement each other.
Mm-hmm.
And the skill sets that they bring are just, it's so hard to stop them. And that's what opens it up sometimes for different guys to have such great nights one night. And that's why they can, you know, play against certain teams and do well. Like, you know, one guy will do well against one team while another guy will do well against another team. It just depends on what they bring that night.
Yeah. And with Steph, Clay, and Draymond, watching the growth and maturation of all these guys since they've been with this team has been pretty amazing to witness. Mm-hmm. Because Draymond, when he got into the league, he was just that scrappy. He's the guy sitting behind David Lee, you know, and then he would get into the game and you'd see flashes of his defense. Maybe he'd shoot a three every now and then. And then you're thinking, all right, we grabbed this guy in the second round. He seems pretty good. Then he ends up becoming a starter and has an instant impact with his mouth. And then he's kind of, you know, always chirping at the refs. He's loud. He's brash. It's something new for this Warriors team that we really haven't seen. And then he comes in, has a child, right? And then he also has a fiance. He's engaged to get married.
Yep, changed a lot about him.
It seems to have changed a lot about him, because Green, I'd say the biggest difference we'd seen, especially in these past few games, not even like through over the years, in these past few games, in these playoffs, what he's been doing with the refs and how he's reacted to them, it shows how much he's changed. And take a listen to him talking about the refs after the game and his sort of mindset toward them.
There was just times where I looked back. I'd look back at the game and, like, I would see my body language or me pouting to a referee or something go wrong. Like, we'd be watching film and something go wrong. And, like, nobody on the team may see it on the film, but I just see myself, like, in the corner somewhere doing like this. And it was just like... It was disgusting to me. I remember one time earlier this year, like, I got into it with Zach Zarba. And like, after the game, it was just like, wow, like, that was embarrassing. And so it was something that I really wanted to, be mindful of, and especially coming into these playoffs. You know, I've been victim of that type of scenario before and can't make the same mistake twice. I also realized how much energy I was wasting on something that I can't change. Like, I can go cry and complain about a call all I want. It's not changing, so why even focus, my energy towards that? Like, it's pointless. And so just try to really be more mindful of it.
And then he continued on after talking about the refs, and he talked about why this sort of went into his mind and why he's kind of trying to set an example for not only his son, but for kind of young kids, too, watching him.
I realized, how impressionable the kids are at the ages they're at. And just really want to be a good example for them and show them the right thing. Like, my son was playing, like, he was shooting and flopping. I'm sorry, y'all, you got to stop watching NBA. Shooting and falling on the floor like, oh, daddy, help me up. It's like, no, G, what you flopping for? But no, it's just like, you know, really impressionable at this age, and I want to make sure I'm setting a good example for them as well.
Now, you have two young sons. Mm-hmm. How does that sit with you? How does that – I mean, he's talking – I've never really heard Draymond Green talk like that before, talking about setting an example for the kids. It's not like he's Charles Barkley where he's out there saying, I'm not a role model,
Yeah. You
know, when he's playing. This is Draymond Green saying, hey, I realize, like, now that I have a son, I realize how impressionable they can be. And seeing, obviously, I think he's talking about Chris Paul. His son must have been watching a lot of Chris Paul because of the flopping and all that sort of mm-hmm. stuff. But, where does that sit with you now that you have two sons?
I love it. I love the fact that he's saying this. And I honestly think the Rockets series was really an eye-opening series for him because you have all the complaints from the Rockets. You have them, you know, showing, hey, look at – we would have won last year. Look at this report, the 48-minute report, the flopping, the complaints and everything. It didn't sit well with him. And then seeing his son doing the same things that he was complaining about and seeing – what Chris Paul was doing, basically, and seeing his son doing, it's like, I don't want this.
Yeah.
I don't want my son doing that. Why? But then at the same time, he's got to be the example, not only for his son, but for everybody else. If he doesn't want to see it in the NBA, why is he doing it? So the fact that he was looking back at video and seeing himself, it was very eye-opening for him. And I think that we're going to see a different type of Draymond going forward. I mean, you've obviously seen in this last game, especially going forward, that he's taking a different approach. And the way he's also approaching, you know, the referees and how he's talking to them, because yeah, that's been one of the biggest complaints about him is him being a hothead. Is he going to get in trouble? Is he going to get too many texts? He hasn't been getting texts for, you know, going off against the refs. He's been getting them for, you know, different things with different players. He's had some rescinded. But it just goes to show you how his life is actually making a big impact on him.
Now, from the 650 on the Chilton on Body text line, can't make the same mistake twice. I've made it 436 times this season alone. Yeah, it's after the 2016 finals where I think people really hoped that he'd make that change, and he never did. He was still acting the same way, even though he got suspended for that game 5 against the Cavs and ended up being a big reason why they ended up losing that game. But I think it just took a lot of patience for the Warrior fans, because I feel like there were a lot of people who were tired of his antics, especially after the stuff with Kevin Durant earlier in the season. You saw it split 50-50. Mm-hmm. It's Draymond's fault. Shouldn't go after him like that. He needs to keep his cool. Whereas the other side was like, that's Kevin Durant's fault. This is Dre's team. And you got to realize, like, hey, if you know, Draymond can do that and should be able to do that. You shouldn't talk back to him and take it personally. But Draymond talked about the Kevin Durant incident earlier, and he said this about the incident.
It's funny because, you know, when the stuff happened with Kevin earlier this year, he said, like, everybody kind of give you this pass, like, oh, that's just Draymond. He's emotional. But he said to me then, like, you're not emotional. Like, I've seen you lock in and not say a word to the referees. Like, I'm not giving you that pass. And that's kind of stuck with me, too. And so I just, you know, just like I said, I just try to really be mindful of that.
You know what? Yeah. You know what? He got called out on it.
Yeah.
And you're right. He's saying, or not you right, but he's right. But he's saying, you know, that.
I am right.
You are right. Katie said, yeah, everybody says you're emotional, but I'm not going to give that to you as an excuse. Learn how to control it.
Yeah. So tonight, I'm looking at these minutes here, and you got 38 for Draymond, 39 for Klay, 37 for Steph. Do you think those numbers are going to go down tonight a little bit?
We might see it go down a little bit because they, you know, as much as we'd like to see them close it out.
Should they? Well, should their minutes go down tonight, or should they keep them in and just go for this sweep ultimately, or give some guys some rest at least? I mean, it's tough to say because Andre, we don't think Andre should play tonight.
No, Andre should not play.
That's not a thing.
But I don't think so. But then, okay, look, I think somebody, you have to keep in consideration, you don't want these guys to get hurt, obviously. Mm-hmm. But you also see, you know, how guys are playing. If they're playing hot, I think you keep them in a little bit longer just because they're feeling it. If they're not, let them rest a little bit. So I think you'll see a lot more of the bench kind of rotating in. Because of the fact they are up 3-0, they are on the verge of a sweep, but you don't want to overpush it. But to get those 9 days off would be pretty nice.
So they started Damian Jones. Mm-hmm. They experimented with that. Is there any chance they experiment with Jordan Bell?
I think so. I mean, I think he proved himself in the last game.
He's been up in his minutes. He got 15 in this last game, up from about 12 to 13 in that game beforehand, and up from a DNP in the series all before. There are certain things that we've seen from Jordan Bell, and the missed dunk being one of them. And
yeah.
You know what? As we're talking about Draymond, we do have the sound, I believe, of Draymond talking of Jordan Bell from that broadcast. Let's take a listen, because there is the Chilton On Body text line who said, from the 619, the best moment I've seen of Draymond was after the Bell missed dunk. Old school Draymond would have been mad or gave Bell a hard time. Instead, he stepped up and told Bell everyone misses shots. This gave Bell confidence to make a huge dunk later in the game. Dre is now a true leader.
He missed the shot tonight. Did he? I did. He did too. It's okay. Keep it moving. It's okay. You missed the shot. All of us have. Nobody's perfect.
You think old school Draymond Green would have just sat and avoided him and talked mess to him?
He might have messed him a little bit. I don't think he would have just.
Because this type of thing, I feel like
he's always been like this in a way.
Yeah, I feel like he's always been the type to talk up his teammates and not really shoot him down. I don't know if old school, like, there's such thing as an old school Draymond when it comes to talking up or down to players. The only time we've really seen that live. I mean, we could be wrong, and this texter from the 619 could absolutely be right, and maybe the old school Draymond would have just sulked and kind of messed with him a little bit. But I think Draymond would be doing this regardless, no matter what year it was beforehand, especially in these runs with the finals.
He's always been a leader on the team. So, and to be a leader of the team is not by putting your other guys down. It's actually by lifting them up. I think when I think of old school Draymond, I think old school Draymond is somebody that's a little more hot-headed and who may be, you know, chirping at the refs a bit more. That's what I think of. And the new Draymond is somebody who's seeing the game going in a direction he doesn't like, the flopping. And doesn't want it going that way. And then realizing, you know what? What am I doing by going at the refs and arguing with them? Sure, I'm gonna call them on stuff, but I'm not gonna go hard at them. I'm not gonna sit there and complain to them and moan.
Right.
So I think that's where you're seeing a new Draymond, where he's taking a different approach to things.
He is, and he did mention talking about the refs. He's been trying to more reason with them, more or less, and not just yell and talk about how they made the wrong. Because the thing is, in the end, I think he's finally learned that the call that they made is going to be the call. It's not like they're just going to reverse the foul on him, and there's no use getting that technical foul. And I think now more than ever, especially with KD out, though, you did not want Draymond in that 5-6 technical foul range, because you've seen how important he already was in 2016 when they didn't have KD, and seeing him not be there for Game 5 and seeing the impact that that had on the entire series, because we all know what happened. But seeing how important he is now, I'm sure everyone around him, he talked about how his mom and his fiance talked about where he should focus his energy, and you know, it should be more on the court in the game rather than just at the ref. So he's had so many different outside voices kind of telling him, hey, you got to focus on this certain part of the game, not on that part of the game that you can't control. And we've seen that change come to fruition.
Yeah, we're seeing him become a better self, finding a better self. And I think that's also having strong people around you. So when you have a strong support system, it only helps you out. And I think what he's also learning is it's not just about, you know, to get what you want. It's not about yelling louder and being the angriest person in the room. It's about getting your point across so that way you sound like you know what you're talking about. Because that's the thing. You can yell as loud as you want, but if you're just making up BS and everything out there, nobody's going to believe you.
From the 510 on the Chilton On Body text line, get the brooms out.
Then, get the brooms out.
Then from the 408, go for the sweep early and see how the game is going. If it looks like they're not playing well, shorten the starters' minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then also from the 912, you need to close this out, get it over with. You don't want to risk it. I think, yeah, there is definitely that side where you're just like, you know what? Play the starters their regular minutes, continue to put Clay in for 40 minutes a game, whatever you need to do, because he's still going out there with that second unit.
That's true.
Cook, Jarebko, Livingston, Bell,
your
Thompson.
Favorite.
I love that.
I know you
Give
do.
Me more of that.
Not too much. Not too much, because we see what happens when they're a little too much.
No, play him the entire game.
Oh, goodness.
Play him the entire game. You could sit Steph, sit Draymond, just go out there with Cook, Bell, Livingston, Jarebko, Thompson. I love it.
I'm not going to say anything more about that.
I should not be coaching this
team. No.
I shouldn't be. From the 408 on the Chilt Nobody text line, I've heard Dre wired up before, and he was encouraging or joking, never talking smack to his old team or his own teammate.
He's always been a leader on this team.
Yeah.
He's always been good at encouraging his teammates and bringing out the best in them. I think that's what makes him so good. And you talked about earlier, would he be a better coach or broadcaster? And that's why I think I'd rather see him as a coach, because he knows how to bring the best out of people.
He'd be great as a coach, but yeah,
he'd be an entertaining broadcaster. Don't get me wrong. He would bring in a lot of insights to the game.
Yeah, it's either one. You could actually see him way more, I think, though. Now that I'm really like...
Steve Kerr did both.
I'm like trying to picture it and visualize it. And I do see Draymond more on the side of just being on the sideline, pointing out everything, because yeah, he already is a coach in a way.
Mm-hmm.
He's that coach on the floor. Him and Andre are both sort of that way.
Yeah.
In terms of just, you know, in terms of just sitting or calming people down. I think that's what, you know, that's more or less what Andre's there for. He's just like, calm down. Like, I'm a veteran. We've been here before. I know what this is like. And then he gives examples, and Draymond sort of meshing into that guy. But what's wild is we haven't really seen Draymond like be a loser. In terms of, I mean, loser in the meaning of, like, have losing seasons. We've only seen it, like, once or twice. The rest of those times, he's been to the playoffs, and he's been to the finals. You haven't seen Draymond Green lose anything, really. Except for, I mean, going to the finals for the amount of time that he's had in his career, in his relatively short career, going to four finals?
I mean, he's done amazing,
yeah.
And with this team, and he is an important part of this team, and there's a reason why he's one of the people that Joe Lacob said he wants him to be a Warrior for life.
From the 831, no doubt Steve Kerr will close this out tonight. They need to rest, plan, and practice for the finals. Joe Lo and Dibs with John Dickinson at 6:30, and Kalen Azubuki at 9 to 10, from 9 to 10, and you can catch the live stream on 957thegame.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.